In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. With these words, St. John begins his relation of the history of our Lord's final meal with his apostles, the history of the Last Supper. And we are picking up where we left off last week. We came up last week to Wednesday of Holy Week, and today we pick up on Holy Thursday. And with the Last Supper, we begin our history of what is known as the Sacred Triduum, the Holy Three, the 3 days from the evening of Holy Thursday to the evening of Easter Sunday. Every year, the Jews held the Feast of the Passover, or Pasch. This ceremony was first celebrated by Moses and the Israelites at the time of their departure from Egypt. So as we know, over their time in Egypt, the Hebrews became numerous, and Pharaoh feared them and subjected them to certain labors and ordered that the male children of the Hebrews should be killed at birth. Now, Moses was a Hebrew child, but he was spared by the efforts of his mother, adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh and raised in the Egyptian court. He would later go on to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, but Pharaoh would only let them go after the 10 plagues. And the culmination of those 10 plagues, the 10th plague, was the death of the firstborn of all Egyptians, man and beast. So on the night that this plague came, the Hebrews ate the Paschal lamb, and the blood of the Paschal lamb was put upon the doorposts, and the angel of death passed them by. The Feast of the Passover was celebrated on the 15th day of the month of Nisan, a date which was tied to the lunar cycles, the cycles of the moon. Similarly, the date of Easter is determined, depending, it's related to, rather, the cycles of the moon, and that's why it moves every year. So in the year of our Lord's death, we find Christ and his apostles eating the Paschal lamb on the evening of a Thursday, Holy Thursday. And as we said, the Hebrews celebrated their feasts from the evening before to the evening after. So the day, if your feast was on the 15th, your celebration would, your feast would begin on what we would consider the evening of the 14th through the evening of the 15th. So 5 days previously, on the 10th day of Nisan, the Paschal lamb was set aside. Now, the Paschal lamb is really one of the, I would say, preeminent figures or preeminent prefigurements of our Lord in the Old Testament. So it was to be a male lamb, 1 year old, and it was to be without blemish. And this symbolized the perfect sanctity of Jesus, the Immaculate Lamb of God. Again, none of the lamb's bones were to be broken. So as we know, our Lord, when they came to break his bones and he was already dead, they didn't do so. They pierced him with the spear, even though those who were crucified with him, their bones were broken. But our Lord fulfilled that prophecy concerning him that not a bone of his body would be broken. And so the Paschal lamb likewise prefigured Christ in this, that none of its bones were broken. The lamb was to be sacrificed and consumed, sacrificed and eaten. And so likewise, Christ was to suffer and die for us, and we consume his flesh in the holy sacrament of the altar. And we know that we cannot have life without this. Our Lord told us this. The Holy Eucharist sustains our spiritual life, and it is the food for our souls. And in the Holy Eucharist, we really and truly and substantially receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so just as that lamb was sacrificed and eaten, so likewise did Christ die for our sins, and we receive him in Holy Communion. We receive his flesh in Holy Communion. Again, the doorposts of the Israelites' homes were sprinkled with the blood of the lamb, and the destroying angel passed them by, and so their physical life was preserved. We likewise, our souls are purified by the blood of Christ. By his sacrifice, by his blood, we're protected from spiritual death and from sin. And in another prefigurement, in each home, in each house, a whole lamb, an entire lamb, was consumed. And so similarly, when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, even though each of you receives one host, even if you received only a part of a host, each of you receives the whole Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the living Christ, whole and entire, present, whole and entire, under each particle of the blessed, the Holy Sacrament, the Blessed Eucharist. And so just as the whole lamb was taken by each household, so likewise is the whole Christ received by each of the faithful. And finally, Saint Justin tells us that the lamb was the feet, the rear feet, and the front feet of the lamb was stretched out. The lamb's body, was pierced through with the spit for roasting, and the back feet as well as the front feet, which we could think of as standing in the place of the hands, they were stretched out and held apart by little wooden sticks, by little sticks inserted into the hollows of the feet. And so we can see this as representing the vertical, longer portion of the cross and the horizontal part of the cross, and likewise as the nails into the hands of our Lord. Another interesting detail, the Paschal lamb was eaten in the evening, so it would be killed probably around 3 p.m., the same time that Christ died. And that when our Lord came to his Last Supper, he would have been aware of all of these things. As he ate the Paschal lamb with his apostles, he knew exactly all the prefigurements. And tradition has it that the place where our Lord had his Last Supper was the home of Saint Mark, and hence also the place where the apostles hid after Christ's death, where Christ came to them, and where the Holy Ghost descended upon them. Now, after our Lord had eaten the Paschal meal with the apostles, he instituted the Holy Eucharist. And the Paschal meal which prefigured Christ was followed immediately by a fulfillment of it. So they offered the lamb, the natural lamb, the Paschal lamb, and then our Lord offered the first Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass offered for the first time, or the Last Supper, rather. And so we see that passage over this whole period from extending through Pentecost, the passage from the Old Testament through to the New Testament, and the prefigurements being fulfilled by our Lord, and the prophecies being fulfilled by our Lord. And so here he chose that on that night when the Paschal lamb was offered, immediately after he would institute the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the priesthood, and there would be present in the Holy Eucharist for the first time the true Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And of all the parts of Scripture, this stands out as one of the most significant. Our Lord said to the apostles, "With desire I have desired to eat the Pasch with you before I suffer." Now, the length of the sermon does not allow me to do any justice to the many things our Lord said on this occasion. And I encourage you to read the accounts of the Last Supper in the Gospels, especially St. John. The other accounts are more brief, but St. John goes at length what our Lord said on this occasion. And take 10 minutes, especially if it's a Sunday. If you're going to watch TV or you're going to watch a movie or something, take 10 minutes or 20 minutes. Take time and read the Sacred Scripture instead. Read the accounts. Before we get to Easter week, read what the evangelists say about this, and especially, as I said, St. John. It's very, very important that we know Christ, and we come to a knowledge of him, of course, through prayer, through the sacrifice of the Mass, the liturgy of the Church, and it is very important that we know him. He's the reason you're here. He's the reason you undertake the responsibilities or the everything that comes with being Catholic. And it's important that we know him well. Now, that all said, I want to take a few minutes to reflect on some of the virtues exemplified by Christ on this occasion, some of the things he did. And especially on this occasion are expressed by his words and his actions, his very great love for his apostles and for us. So we see his tremendous patience and kindness with Judas, guarding Judas's reputation, giving him time and again opportunities and incentives to repent, giving him opportunity after opportunity to turn away from the bad road that he had chosen. And here at this longed for time, this time when Christ would say to his apostles, I will now call you, not call you now servants, but I have called you friends. At this very time, Judas betrays him. And it's thought with good reason. There's a little bit of different opinion about the exact order that things happened on Holy Thursday, but it's thought with good reason that Judas would have even received Holy Communion. And what an awful pain it must have been for our Lord that on the very night of his institution of the Holy Eucharist, on that very special night, that one of his own chosen disciples would make an unworthy, a sacrilegious communion, and so wound his sacred heart. And yet we see that kindness and patience and gentleness trying to win him back. We see Christ's tremendous humility in washing the feet of his disciples. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. We see the institution on this night of Christ's greatest gift to us, the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. Christ himself present with us on our altars in the tabernacle, to stay with us throughout history, to be received by us often, to strengthen us, to give us grace, to comfort us. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. That we have the privilege of coming to our churches and kneeling down literally before God, really and truly present there, being able to worship him really and truly and wholly there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And with the Holy Eucharist, of course, also on this night, the institution of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is the sacrifice of the new law in which Christ, through the ministry of the priest, offers himself to God in an unbloody manner under the appearances of bread and wine. It is the same sacrifice as the sacrifice of the cross. Our Lord said, do this in commemoration of me. And we see with the Mass and the Holy Eucharist also the instituting of the priesthood to provide for the faithful through all the centuries, to offer the Mass, to forgive sins, to offer the sacraments, and so forth. And finally, we see our Lord giving a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And we want to reflect on ourselves. How do I act in regard to all of these things? How do I take the examples of our Lord? What are my thoughts when I attend Mass, when I receive Holy Communion? We must never receive Holy Communion knowingly receive Holy Communion in the state of mortal sin. This is a very serious sin. It's a sacrilege. And what am I thinking when I'm at Mass? Like Judas, am I thinking selfish thoughts? Or am I chomping at the bit to get out of here? What am I thinking of as Christ offers himself for me on the altar? And do I take every chance I get to go to Holy Communion? There is no better way to sanctity than the frequent reception, frequent and devout reception, to make good and devout Holy Communions often. In Holy Communion, you receive not just grace, but God himself, the very author of grace. It's the best thing you can do for your soul, to make good and frequent communions, and daily communions if you can. If it's a possibility for you at all, I would encourage you. You're not likely to regret having made a good communion. And there's no better source of grace. There's no better way to improve our soul. Again, how patient am I if someone hurts me? if someone betrays me or talks behind my back or doesn't notice me or doesn't pay attention to me or doesn't thank me or is rude to me. You know, I'm not going to be betrayed like our Lord was. I might be betrayed, but I'm not going to imagine what happened to him. One of his, of all the men in history, one of the 12 men he chose to betray him in that manner. How painful that must have been for Christ. But look at his patience. Look at his gentleness. Look at his efforts to win Judas back. How careful he is not to unnecessarily hurt his reputation. He's looking to win him back. He wants him to go to heaven. And how do I act with people that don't like me or people that I don't like? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I forgiving? Am I willing to suffer some pain for the greater good or for the benefit of another? Do I bear criticisms patiently for our Lord's sake? And how humble am I? Look at the example of our Lord washing the feet of his disciples. We're used to this as a ceremonial part of our ceremonies. Imagine that humility of Christ. Do I look for ways to serve people around me, regardless of who they are? Would I, like our Lord, be willing to treat others like their servant? Or am I willing to do that as an act of virtue? Do I have basic kindness? Am I polite? Or do I tend to be rude? Or do I look down on others? And the Mass, do I really appreciate the Mass? Every time I attend Mass, I attend the same sacrifice that happened on Calvary, only here in an unbloody manner. Jesus offers him for me on the altar, offers himself for me on the altar every day. Heaven comes to earth as our Lord comes down into the Blessed Sacrament, or as that bread and wine change into the body and blood and soul and divinity of Christ. Heaven comes down to earth. And do I appreciate where I'm going when I'm going to Mass? Do I give God my best? Do I dress well when I go to Mass? Do I make it a priority to have a Sunday best, to dress appropriately, to come before the worship of God, to come to Mount of Calvary? And not only externally, but do I prepare myself internally? Do I take some time to get my mind ready to come and kneel before God? Do I shut off my phone for a bit, turn off my radio on my car on the way to church, say some prayers, try to not have my mind crowded with many worldly things as I come into Sunday Mass? And do I appreciate while I'm here what is happening in front of me? The sacrifice of the Son of God for my sins, God giving his life for my sins. As Jesus said at the Last Supper, no greater love than this, greater love than this, no man hath, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And every day God shows his love for you. Christ shows his love for you. He gave his life for you, and the sacrifice is renewed every day on the altar. Not just one altar, but again and again, our Lord renews his sacrifice every day. It is the supreme act of love. And do I follow the commandment of Jesus Christ that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Can I be recognized? Let me ask myself, can I be recognized as a disciple of Jesus Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.